Blog Talk Radio.
This nice Wednesday evening. I know it's pretty nice here. It's fall is finally here. It feels like it. I know some parts of the nation, summer still wants to hold on, but we're chilling, not literally, but figuratively here in Ohio. It's just not Ohio, as a matter of fact. But anyway, thank y'all for tuning in to the weekly podcast known as the Clown Hour here every Wednesday night here at 9:30 on Law Talk Radio. But at any rate, like my sports blog is the Clown Times. It's Clown spelled with K, by the way, which is the blog, online web blog component of this podcast. You can find me on web at www.theclowntimes.net. And you can find me as well on Facebook. Just do a search, whether you're on your smartphone, your laptop, or your desktop, or your old school or at work. Just go to the search window and type in the Clown Times. Again, it's Clown spelled with K. You'll be find me there as well. Lots to get into since this weekly podcast. Besides the NFL, the week that was week three, we got the show love to Tiger Woods. We like to say Tiger, woo. You know, won his first tournament, the Tour Championship since 2013, as well as, you know, things that obviously stood out from week three of the NFL season, how we're looking forward to week four. Here to help me break this down is my co-pilot, my famous co-pilot. Y'all know him from the Yards, it's HBCU Sports. He raps about all things HBCU Sports, as well as Sleazy Radio, his weekly podcast with Coaching Company, every week here on Blog Talk Radio. Here's Dwayne Nash back in the saddle. What's up, D?
Tiger Woo.
That's right. It's a long
time,
Scott, man.
How you doing, man?
I'm hanging, man. I mean, I'm enjoying this nice fall weather. You know, summer's finally the hell out of here. Even though we wanted to hold on for an extra week or so, but I'm enjoying it, brother. And I know Tiger Woods is enjoying life in the fall. I mean, he's won his first tournament since 2013, man. It's hard to believe it's been 5 years since he's won any tournament. But damn it, he's won it. He won it in convincing fashion. And the networks are very grateful for that, which I'll get to in a minute. But first of all, did you get goosebumps when you saw that big-ass crowd following Tiger to the 18th hole, knowing that he was going to wrap it up?
I thought he had messed with somebody's sister, and they was chasing him. At first, I said, oh, no, it's actually a golf tournament today. That's what's going on. Oh, he must be winning. Man, oh, man, to see that sight, something I haven't seen in years, you know what I'm saying? And something that I watched a video earlier today where he talked about his kids not necessarily seeing that him before, but it had to have been chills for the family members who had never had an opportunity to see it before. So it was a huge deal to see that go down, bro. And those who are fans of his, you know, they thoroughly enjoyed that, man. I got to shout out my man, Imani Scope, man. He's an Aggie as well. Huge Tiger Woods fan. He talked about Tiger the entire weekend. It was just super hype. And I know he was great. Was glad that Tiger finally got a chance to win him one, man. And it's probably anticipating what he's going to do in the Ryder coming up.
You know what, man? This is, I know Tiger hasn't won a major, but this feels like the year for Tiger. I mean, we all love, well, most of us anyway, Americans, we love comeback stories, right? Where the guy sort of so high, he gets knocked down, where it's self-inflicted or whatever, in his case. And, you know, he rises back up like a phoenix and gets back on the scene again. We've seen it with Mike Tyson, and now we've seen it with Tiger Woods. And, you know, the thing is that seeing him be himself again, many people thought he was finished, including yours truly. I really thought he was finished after, you know, his infamous night, Thanksgiving night, where he ran to the his fire hydrant and his ex-wife, like, took a 9-iron to his car, to his SUV, and he ended up getting surgery. And then he, like, had a DUI. I mean, when he – that's probably arguably when he hit rock bottom. And you see the – I mean, you know he put on the work. I mean, he was one of the hardest working dudes in golf as it was, but you could tell he really put in the work over the last couple of years to get back in the form, to try to round back in the form. And dude's been knocking on the door, man. I mean, you know, I mean, like the British Open, he finished tied for sixth.
Yeah.
And the PGA Championship, he finished second. So dude was knocking on the door. And it's hard to believe, again, that layoff that he had, that to him to get back to this point, and he's not slowing down. I mean, he's playing in more tournaments than he has been before to get himself in – back in the golf shape, so to speak. And, you know, this win, it was coming. This win was a long time coming. And, you know, good for him. Good for him.
Exactly. And, you know, to the point of Americans love seeing a comeback story, it's odd.
Yeah.
Because you also like watching the downfall, too. We're strange like that. We love to see someone start from nowhere and then get ascend to certain heights, right? Then we root for them to fail, and we like watching that fall. Then when they hit rock bottom, depending upon how they handle it, we'll root for them to make a comeback and ascend back to greatness again. It's something about that whole rise and fall, crescendo, and you know, whatever that, you know, synonym to that is, you know, I can't think of it, what it is right now.
Right.
But we love watching that story. But like you said, he's been knocking on the door all year long. You know, the Valspar, he tied for second. You know, the Palmer Invitational, he was tied for fifth. Like you said, Players, tied for 11th. Open, tied for sixth. At the Quicken, he was tied for fourth. PGA Championship, like you said, second. In the BMW, he was tied for six. So he's been knocking on the door all year long. So for him to finally get through with this win, fantastic for him. And just in time for the, like I said before, for the Ryder Cup, because there were people who questioned whether or not he deserved to be on that team. And then actually, just in time, I guess, depending upon if this hype carries for his matchup against Mickelson, I think it is, during Thanksgiving. Odd the date, of course, because like you just said, his history on Thanksgiving. But then also odd because it's going up against heavy college football weekend, and it's supposed to be a pay-per-view event. So, you know, for golf enthusiasts and for those who are probably running this event, this pay-per-view event, they're hoping that he does well at the Ryder so that this past tournament win and the Ryder carries over to fans wanting to see how well he does one-on-one against another great in Phil Mickelson.
You know what? I mean, it's interesting that you mentioned the pay-per-view event because it went from being a novelty a few weeks ago, to back to being, we got to see this shit. You know, because the Tiger coming back on the scene, Phil has never really fallen off. You know, he's still contending. And, you know, his name is about as big as Tiger Woods as far as cachet and like an off-golf right now. Even with, like, even with all these young studs, you know, all around, like the Justin Thomases and everything else, Xander Schauffele, whatever his last name. Right, yeah. Exactly. Jordan Spieth's another one. But still, the names are Tiger Woods and arguably Phil Mickelson. And going back to the pay-per-view thing, some more to expound on it, as we talk about ratings, you know, the PGA Tour season finale, you know, the Tour Championship, drew a 5.2 overnight rating. For those who don't understand how ratings work, just know this. It's a whopping 206% over last year's event, which was 1.7. Which one of those studs actually won. So from 1.7 to 5.2.
Oh, wow.
That's a huge jump. That's a huge jump. And the fact that it went against the fact that it went against NFL Sunday, like as far as Fox and CBS, that should tell you something.
Yeah.
That should tell you something. And, you know, hate on Tiger as much as you want, and there are a lot of people out there who still do. You just can't deny that the dude is good for golf. He's still good for golf, still good for business. And there's more. I almost forgot about this, brother. Like the final round of that aforementioned British Open, it's called the Open, I guess. When he finished top for six, it was the event's highest U.S. ratings in 18 years. Furthermore, the PGA Championship, from what I'm reading right now, Tiger finished second, but it was the most watched PGA Championship since 2009. Think about that.
Wow.
Think about that. The
most watched
PGA Championship. And the PGA Championship is a major.
Yes,
since
it is.
Since 2009. That should tell you something
crazy
about the power of one Tiger, Eldridge Tiger Woods. You can't deny it. Haters out there, haters want to hate, but you can't deny his drawing power, man. And that's why, like I said before, many times before, and you've alluded to it, Tiger Woods is and always will be good for golf. Period.
Yeah, but I will say this. They got a blessing this weekend from the NFL. I don't want to try to rain on Tiger's parade a little bit, but they did get a blessing.
Yeah.
A lot of the 1 o'clock games weren't the best of games. If you think about it,
that's true.
That Thursday matchup between Cleveland and the Jets was highly watched. Pittsburgh-Tampa Bay was Monday night.
Right.
You know, the game Sunday night, I forgot who played Sunday night, and then there were attractions at 4 p.m., but there were a lot of surprises and snoozes at 1 p.m. You know, you had the likes of Washington beating up on Green Bay, and the Bills beating up on the Vikings and other stuff that we'll talk about later, but that assisted and bringing some more eyes over to watching Tiger when people were probably like, oh, wow, Tiger's in the lead. Let me go see what he's doing. So, yeah.
Yeah, he's a big deal. And you know, again, good for him and good for golf. Speaking of NFL, you mentioned NFL. Let's just get right to it, shall we? Week 3. There were a whole lot of surprises, bro. Namely, Buffalo beating the hell out of Minnesota. At Minnesota, Josh Allen looked like the second coming of Ben Roethlisberger. I think throwing for two scores, running for one.
Mm-hmm.
And that defense of Buffalo, I think this is what I think will happen, brother. I think it's a combination of Minnesota taking Buffalo lightly because, after all, they got to ask twice in the world. And Buffalo say, you know what, we're tired of being punked. We're tired of being laughed at. We're tired of being clowned. We're professionals. We get paid like everybody else is. It's time to show. It's time for our pride to kick in and show the hell up. I think it's a combination of those two things. Maybe more of the former than the latter, but still. The way Buffalo went in, and by the way, that was going to be my ass. That was my ass whooping of the week on my blog, but obviously I had it the other way around. I just had no idea that Buffalo would be the one doing the ass whooping. And also your skins beating up on the Packers. Then again, Aaron Rodgers, God bless him, is on one leg, like playing his ass off on one leg.
Yeah.
But still, that was a mild upset. And what else? Oh, yeah, and Detroit beating down the Patriots. I don't know what the hell is wrong with the Patriots right now, but Detroit beating them down. Look, there's some more things we could get to, but those are the three big ones. And, of course, uh-huh. We've been winning the first game since Moses came on the earth. So what are your big surprises that you took home? And if you want to mention any of those, found on any of those four games, feel free.
It's funny because three of those four I listed as my big surprises. Of course, with the Lions doing what they did to New England unexpectedly, and Matt Patricia getting his first win, the Browns doing what they did to the Jets. But there were some people who thought that could happen. If I remember correctly, I think I may have picked it on this show last week.
Right.
I'm not going to toot my own horn, but it is what it is. And then, of course, you had the Bills and their beatdown. See, the thing is, and it was something that mildly perplexed me, but I was like, okay, I can see them being 0-2, and that's with the Bills. Yes. Don't forget, the Bills were a playoff team last year.
That's
right. Yeah, they were, what, like 9-7, 10-6, but they were still a playoff team last year. And the majority of that team is still there with the exception of Tyrod Taylor. That's not a huge loss. You know what I'm saying? To lose the game manager. And they still have LeSean McCoy. You know, they still have a bulk of that defense. So they still have the makings of what made that team a 9-win team last year. But at the same time, I was surprised that they won 9 games last year. So,
yeah,
they just decided, you know what, we're going to do what we're going to do and get this win. Now, it was pointed out by Coach on the show on last night, you know, Coach is huge on Baker Mayfield, that out of all of the rookie starters that started yesterday or on Sunday, or I should say for week three, Baker was the only one to surpass 200 yards in passing. Even with the three scores from Josh Allen, he still didn't throw for over 200 yards. Baker was the one that comfortably threw for over 200 yards, probably would have had a bigger day had he started. So it's going to be interesting to see whether or not, you know, is it official that he's getting the start? No, it's the Tampa situation where it's not official yet. So Baker's supposed to start this Sunday. It's going to be interesting to see how he looks in a starting role, and especially with defenses expecting him to play and how they're going to adapt to him. But like you said, there were other games that were good, big wins for teams that needed him. I would say the team that is shocking me the most so far is the Miami Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still trying to figure out how they're 3-0, but if you look at the teams that they beat, I can see them being 3-0. They beat the Jets, even though the Jets were favored to beat them. They beat the Titans in week one, but the Titans look like they might be decent with their big win over Jacksonville, even though that was a 6-9 snoozer. Another one of those games that was boring at 1 o'clock. And then, you know, they beat Oakland, who came into Sunday 0-2 again. Who would have thought that the Dolphins would have been leading the AFC East at this point leading it at 3-0. At best, they could have been leading it at 2-1 or tied with the Patriots at 2-1, but no one thought that the Patriots would lose because it's been years since they've done it, lose back-to-back games, let alone lose back-to-back games to Jacksonville, who a game is competitive, but to Detroit the following week, who was over going into the week. So applaud the Dolphins, as much as I don't like to do it in front of coach. Applaud the Dolphins for going 3-0 and starting out the season as best as possible. They do have a prove it or lose it game coming up this weekend against the Patriots. If they can go ahead and beat the Pats, this might be the end that a lot of people have been anticipating with the New England Patriots and the beginning to what people are looking for, a new divisional winner coming out the AFC East.
You know what? Chris Carter said, you know, because he helped call that game, that Tennessee Miami like marathon in week one. He said before the game, watch out for Miami. He did a tour of practice, you know, as they do the prep before the game. And he said that.
Yeah.
He said on First Things First that Friday. I remember that. And he just came out and said, you know, he's like, watch out for them. Watch out for them. And he's right so far. I mean, granted, they play who they played, right, on the schedule. But 3-0 is 3-0. That's a damn result, especially with New England being 1-2. And I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
John Brady has not lost to has lost only once, I think, to Miami and New England in his career. They have trouble in Miami, but he lost to them only once in his career at New England, at you know, at home. If they lose, if the Patriots lose to Miami, I think it's not too early to say it's a wrap in the division.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happened is that New England would be 1-3. 1-3? Wow. And
1-3.
Miami would be 4-0. And Miami would have had a game in hand. It's just they won at their place in New England.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be an uphill battle. I mean, I know Tom Brady is Tom Brady. And I know Bill Belichick has something up his sleeve. But 4-0, if you're looking up at a 4, if New England is 1-3, and again, it's a huge shift, but I'm just saying, for the sake of argument, if they're 1-3, and looking up at the Miami at 4-0, I don't unless Miami has a huge collapse in the middle of the season, it's going to be tough. Because the NFL, I know it's 16 games, but that shit is a sprint. It's a damn sprint. And, you know, it's going to be tough. But that would be something really huge to watch out for. That's going to be that game will tell us everything we need to know, at least early for New England Patriots for the first quarter of the season. Yeah, indeed, indeed. And here's another one I got for you, brother. My beloved Steelers. We got a big win Monday night, even though the defense tried their damnedest to give it right back in the second half. But at any rate, Ben Roethlisberger is a stud. He's been a stud since week one when he was playing like Large Benjamin, which is why we tied Cleveland in the first place. We should have beaten Cleveland by 2 touchdowns. you know, James Conner, he's serviceable, but he's not Le'Veon Bell. We'll get to Le'Veon in a minute. But the Ravens are sitting at 2-1. We're 1-1-1. And, you know, this is a big game for us. Again, it's kind of early. First, it's the last game of the first quarter of the season. But this is a must-win game for my Steelers. They can't afford to go a game and a half behind Baltimore and have a loss on their home field to Baltimore in the first place. And it's so the reason why it's big is because I think that this division is more wide open, the AFC North, that is, than ever before, in the sense that Cincinnati is 2-1, but they play the Falcons on the road. And who the hell knows what happened to Cincinnati? And, again, Baltimore, they're inconsistent. And Cleveland is playing a lot better they have better talent anyway, but with Baker Mayfield, and, you know, I'm not saying he's a savior, even though he played pretty damn well in relief of Tyrod Taylor. Now that Cats will start game playing for him, if they win in Oakland, they'll be 2-1-1. So this division is wide-ass open, and Pittsburgh can't afford to take this game. Not that they would take a game against Baltimore for granted, but this is a must-win game for the Steelers if they want to make a statement in the AFC North.
it would be one, I don't know how I want to say it's a must win yet, but it will be one that they will need in order to keep pace with everybody else. Like you said, Cincinnati, we don't know who we're going to get with those that Bengals squad. Will we get that team that started out 2-0 with those two big wins? Or are we going to get that Cincinnati
right.
Bengals team that came out and laid that egg this past week? We don't know. And like you said, the Browns are playing against the Raiders. We don't know what's going on in Oakland. I don't even know if Gruden knows what's going on in Oakland. And the fact that he keeps addressing Khalil Mack in that situation is hilarious to me.
Right.
You need to turn your back on that fire, son. Let that go. That was one of those things that you dumped that alcohol on, that gasoline, and you lit it up. Don't stand there, keep watching it, and keep talking about it. That's something that you've done. So what? You messed up. Go away from that, bro. And concern yourself with what's going on right now. Because I know people keep asking
right.
about it because their defense keeps looking horrible, and Khalil Mack is outperforming that defense by himself. But you need to go ahead and focus on what you got and try to figure out, one, how you want to get through this season, two, what type of expectations you have for the rest of this year, because the Chiefs and the Broncos right now are playing like gangbusters, and even though the Chargers are 1-2, they're a respectable 1-2, with one of those losses being against the Chiefs. So
right.
that those three right there in front of them are going to be a battle for them for 6 games throughout the season, along with the rest of their schedule. You need to go ahead and forget about that, man. You need to focus on what's ahead of you, and you need to see if you can get this quick win over the Browns. Because just as delicious, it's like the cartoons. You know in the cartoons where both cartoon characters are starving and they're looking at each other and they both look like kicking it to each other? That's what the Browns and the Steelers are looking at each other like right now. Like, dude, you look like you're about to get ate, son. I don't know, man. And they putting spices on each other right now and trying to figure out how they're going to eat them. Somebody needs to walk away with this win. Somebody needs this win. Actually, Oakland needs this win more than Cleveland, because no one expected Cleveland to at least be 1-1-1. You know what I'm saying? People at least expected Oakland to have at least one win and be competitive. Oakland's not even looking competitive right now. So they both need this win for different reasons. And I'm going to need Gruden to do what he needs to do, man, in order to get this team better. Plus, I don't know if he's focusing on Vegas too much right now. I don't know if Vegas is sitting in his mind thinking about getting this team to Vegas and trying to do it. Maybe they tanking. Maybe they tanking trying to get him a number one overall pick so they can go ahead and have a shiny toy when they move to Vegas. Who knows, man? I don't know. But it's crazy what's going on in Oakland.
Dude has 100 million reasons. Talking about John Gruden, dude has 100 million reasons to be chilling. He's not going anywhere for at least 5 years. He's not going anywhere. He knows he's not going anywhere. He's doing whatever the hell he wants. He got rid of Khalil Mack because of ego. He didn't want to pay him.
Mm-hmm.
He thought that he was still big bad Gruden from 10 plus years ago. And, you know, even though he won with Tony Dungy's players, that's another podcast, another time. However, nevertheless, the thing is that for him, if you look at all his games, they come out gangbusters in the first half. He scripted the plays well, first 15 offensive plays well. They're gangbusters the first half. But you notice every second half in every game they led at halftime. Every game Oakland has led at halftime. And if you look at the second half, they get their asses kicked in the second half because while one team adjusts, Gruden refuses to adjust. He refuses to adjust. And that's what led to the second half collapses. So, look, we all knew that Gruden was going to get a grace period, but I think he smartly negotiated his contract so that he has a prolonged grace period, because they're not going anywhere fast this year, it looks like. They don't have a pass rush. Khalil Mack has more sacks than the whole team, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And You know, it doesn't look good. I mean, the quarterback has regressed, and it doesn't look good for next year as well. I don't think, unless they do something really special in the draft. But two more things about this week, this past week. First of all, who's going to stop Patrick Mahomes? Who's going to stop that kid in Kansas City who's passed, 10 touchdowns the first three games of the season? That's a record.
I think it was 13, the first three?
No, 13. 13, because he threw six against the Steelers. He threw three against the Chargers. I keep calling San Diego. The Chargers, so that's nine.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, he had, three or four? How many touchdown passes he had against the Niners?
I think he may have had three or four. I can't remember exactly how many he had, but I think it's somewhere between 12 and 13 touchdowns total in the first 3 weeks.
Yeah. Totally amazing. I mean, it helps to have a coach, first of all, who drafted you and believes you, and Andy Reid, who's also a quarterback whisperer, but also helps to have all those damn weapons on offense. It helps to have Tyreek Hunt. It helps to have all those cats like Sammy Watkins throw the ball to. It's like pick your poison if you're playing against the Chiefs on defense. Even though the Chiefs can't stop a nosebleed on defense as well. But, I mean, I don't know how sustainable that is, dude, winning every game in the 30s and 40s. You know, because there's one day that Mahomes is not going to have a good game. It's going to happen, unfortunately, because it's the league. Everyone's good.
Yeah. Yeah, and someone's going to figure him out. And you know what? It'll be interesting because I want to see, even with losing Aqib Talib.
Eric Berry.
Even with losing Talib, is this defense as good as people think that they are? And will they be capable of stopping Mahomes at home? You know, this will be his first start
up
there
right.
in Mile High. Or whatever it's called, NRG Stadium, whatever the stadium is called. But this will be his first time playing in that thin, how will he adjust playing out there? And also, like I said, it'll be interesting to see what he does against, I guess, the best defense he's faced so far this season. Even though you would have thought it was Pittsburgh, but, you know, Pittsburgh, for whatever reason, likes to start out slow and then get better towards the end of the season every year. I don't know why they do that, but I digress. But, yeah, this will be interesting.
Yeah, we always do
that. And then also to see Kansas City's defense, like you just said, not being able to stop anybody, face Case Keenum, who has looked pretty good this year, you know, with Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas, C.J. Anderson, and that offense that they have. It'll be interesting to see how they face up against that offense. So I think this will be the biggest test that the Chiefs have faced so far this season. And I want to see whether or not Mahomes can put out quality play the way that he's put out so far this season. If they don't win, I still want to see if he's capable of putting up at least 250 and at least two touchdowns. Uh-huh. If he's capable of doing that, then I'm about to say this dude the real deal and get ready.
Get ready like Jermaine Dupri. So let's get to it since we're talking about week four. A lot of people don't get the old school Army reference, but that's okay. We're still on Thursday.
That's right,
night. Minnesota and the Rams is what should be one of the best games of the week. I think Minnesota to come into this game pissed off at their performance against the Bills. But the Rams are too good, especially playing at home. I got the Rams winning this one on Thursday night.
You know what? And I'm going to keep this quick. The way that they stymied Kirk Cousins is a surprise to me. But at the same time, it's not. I'm just surprised that it was the Buffalo Bills defense that did it. And if the Bills defense can do it, it's going to be interesting to see what Kirk Cousins does this year. And see, you got to remember, when the Skins went out to L.A. and beat the Rams, it wasn't because of Cousins. It was because they were capable of getting 200 yards rushing out of their running back core last year. No doubt in Cook. It's going to be interesting to see. I think it's Murray that's back there now. If he can somehow make a resurgence this week, because he sure didn't do it against Buffalo. If he can make a resurgence, then it'll be a possibility. But I doubt very seriously that it happens, especially with McVay knowing what makes, being that he was his I think he was the offensive coordinator, and I'm trying to remember if he was the quarterback's coach as well. But he was real close with Kirk. He knows Kirk. Almost got Kirk out to L.A., but that didn't transpire. And thankfully for McVay, they didn't have to spend that money because they had a guy in-house. But all that said, Rams beat Minnesota.
Yep. It definitely will. Let's see, where are we at? Okay, Cincinnati at Atlanta. Atlanta dropped a heartbreaker. I guess the hated New Orleans Saints at home. Big win for New Orleans.
Yeah.
So I think Atlanta comes in a little bit mad and takes down the Bengals.
I'm going to keep it quick. Atlanta puts up points on the Bengals, and they beat them.
There you go. That's quick. Buffalo at Green Bay. You got to wonder about this one. Buffalo has to have a lot of confidence, right? Then again, Green Bay playing with Aaron Rodgers, a stud QB with only one leg at the moment. Clay Matthews is probably going to get flat for another rough in the pass. He probably won't try to tackle the quarterback at the time, which I thought were garbage calls both times, against your skins and against the Vikings. I need to get rid of that rule, but that's another podcast for another time. I got Green Bay winning at home because it's at home. It wouldn't shock me if Buffalo makes a game of it.
I'll say this. Watching that game against Green Bay last week, I don't care if it was one leg, no legs, peg leg with a kickstand. I don't care what Aaron Rodgers was standing on. As long as he was on that field, I thought he was going to be a problem. Now, I knew – actually, no, I should say I knew because I didn't know. I was hoping that with the rain, it would reduce the amount of time Aaron Rodgers would spend scrambling on that busted ankle, and it did, which, of course, gave Washington's defense some time to continue to play the way they've been playing all season, like a top-five defense, surprise, surprise. And that was the reason why they were capable of beating them. But if it wasn't for a couple of fumbles and a couple of drop passes, that game would have been a whole lot different. So Buffalo better hope that Green Bay is playing them in the rain, because if they're not, I got the Packs beating them. They're not going to make those same mistakes that they made against Washington. Not 2 weeks in a row.
Right. I feel you on that. Let's see where we at. Tampa Bay at Chicago. Matchup of 2-1 teams. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
I think that Fitzmagic kind of fizzled in the first half against my Steelers, but he turned it on in the second half. I think that Chicago can't keep up with Tampa scoring with them. So I got Tampa winning on the road in Chicago. By the way, Chicago memo to Chicago offensive coaching staff, more Tariq Cohen, less Mitchell Trubisky, please, and thank you.
Yes, you think? You know, but surprisingly enough, it's working to the detriment, unfortunately, of Tariq, man. I would love to see him on the field more. And I was hoping to see the Bears use Tariq the same way that Nagy used Tyreek Hill in KC. But I in the games that I've watched, I haven't seen it yet. You know, I've seen him in formation, but unfortunately, there just been spots in which Trubisky just couldn't get him the ball. But, you know, hopefully that connection gets better because, you know, they put Tariq more in the slot, you know, and sadly they're not playing him more. I would like to see him play a little bit more special teams just to have him on the field more, to have more opportunities at you know, getting either great field position or scoring, even though Tariq almost did score yesterday, but not yesterday, but last week, but that's another story. Bills Now, Bill's Bucks offense against Bears defense, I'm not going to call it a watch, but that'll be fun to watch. The thing that I'm more worried about is Bears offense against a Bucks defense. That dumpster fire of a defense, which gives up a ton of points, against the Bears offense, which is still trying to find the sea legs, even though they got talent at the skill position, but still, Mitch Trubisky ain't what he what the Bills need them to be in order for them to be a constantly productive offense. But in spots, he's looked good. I'm going to pick the surprise. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and take the Bears, and the Bears are going 3-1 right now.
Wow, that would be a hell of a story. Well, I don't want it to be a hell of a story, 3-1. Miami at New England.
And leading the NFC North.
Yeah, I know, right? There you go. Miami, New England. We talked about them earlier. Even though the Patriots are struggling, even though the defense couldn't stop a nosebleed, a lot of the Chiefs, a lot of the Steelers, I got New England winning at home. Unless Tom Brady goes out there, trips over himself, busts his ass out on the carpet at Foxborough, I don't think Miami's going to win. I don't see Miami winning New England. So I got New England, believe it or not, winning this one and stopping the bleeding.
If they don't, it's the demise of the Patriots, like I said earlier, that everyone's waiting to see. So as much of a must-win, as much as I just said that there aren't must-wins in week four, this is probably a must-win for the Patriots. I'm going to take New England.
Yeah, me too. Let's see. Philadelphia, Tennessee. Out of 2-1 teams. I got Philadelphia winning this one. I don't think with Blaine Gabbert or Harbaugh, Marcus Mariota, I don't think they can hang with Philadelphia now, especially now they got Carson Wentz back, or Shannon Sharp likes to call him Walker to him, is back in the South. So I got Philadelphia winning that one on the road.
Yeah, in order for Tennessee to compete, they have to put up more points than what they have been doing so far this season. I don't see it happening this week. I got the Phillies. I'm about to call them the Phillies. I got the Eagles.
Yeah. Jacksonville hosting the New York Jets. Jacksonville, both teams are pissed off. Jets pissed off by losing to the Browns. Jacksonville pissed off by having a piss-poor effort against the Titans at home. It seems like the Titans own Jacksonville as of late, but at any rate, I got Jacksonville coming out big against the Jets, forcing turnovers, defense forcing turnovers from Sam Darnold and company. I got them going 3-1 after this one.
I got a strange feeling that this game might be unfortunately closer than what it needs to be, or than closer to what it should be. But I'm gonna go ahead and take Jacksonville in this one because of course their defense.
Right, Detroit at Dallas. I really hope and pray, and I bet you do too, as a Redskins fan, that Detroit carries the momentum from last week's win, the shocking win against the Patriots, big win against the Patriots, and they beat the Patriots down. Again, they beat them down. On the road, they take that show on the road against, you know, to Dallas. I really want to see Dallas go 1-3. I really want to see Jerry Jones just sweat and feel like the idiot and buffoon that he is. But I don't think it's going to happen. I think Dallas bounces back, unfortunately, wins at home over Detroit. I think Detroit has a huge letdown from last week's win over the Patriots.
I think Matt Patricia takes the hype of beating New England on the road and get his first road win against Dallas. Dallas just has looked completely stagnant, especially on the offensive side of the ball. They really can't seem to generate any type of sustainable offense outside of Zeke. And you just can't keep beating Zeke without teams finally putting it in the box and daring Dak to throw the ball. And I think that's exactly what Matt Patricia is going to do and try to confuse him in this game. That's why I've got Detroit in this one. And the D.C. area Dallas Cowboys fans are going to be crying for another week about how they need to go ahead and get rid of Jason Garrett. And I love hearing that. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to
it. Me too. You know, I hope you're right. God, I hope you're right because, again, we it's no secret that we both hate Dallas. And, you know, for those fans of us who listen to the show regularly, but and I hope you're right. I just don't see it, but I hope you're right. Houston at Indianapolis. We can't. Houston can't go 0-4, right? Not with T.J. Watt, Jadeveon Clowney on defense, Deshaun Watson on offense. They can't go 0-4, right? They just can't. I just keep asking myself this question. They can't go 0-4 to start the season, right? They got to win in Indianapolis, right? So I got to take Houston in Indianapolis because I can't see them start 0-4. I really can't see them start 0-4.
I'm surprised that they're 0-3. I really am. You know, people came into the season with all the hype with Deshaun Watson and what he's going to do and this and that. They've been relatively quiet, bro. And it doesn't help, you know, that they 0-3 going into an Indianapolis to see an Indianapolis squad who has, especially in their last two games against Washington and Philadelphia, even though they split, they've looked strong in both games. They even looked strong against they looked strong against last year's Super Bowl champs, the Eagles, losing by 4 on the road. This defense of Indianapolis has impressed me. They're flying all over the field with their youth and their enthusiasm. You know I love Darius Leonard coming out of South Carolina State. Thank God that he's not on the field in the MEAC anymore. Thank God the Aggies don't have to see him on Saturday or this Thursday coming up. But, you know, he's in the NFL causing havoc now. I think that with that young defense and with Andrew Luck still playing respectfully and Frank Gore, the ageless wonder, still balling out a little bit and putting up okay numbers, 35 especially. I'm expecting the Colts to keep the Texans at 0-4.
Wow, that's a huge shock, man. I tell you, no one saw that coming. Let's see who else. Cleveland or Oakland? We mentioned them earlier. I got Cleveland winning on the road and winning two games in a row. I think John Gruden is a dinosaur. Is a coaching dinosaur. He has to hit rock bottom before he can relearn, like being an old dog who has to learn new tricks, who has to learn a new trick or two. But I just don't see it. I Cleveland's too good defensively. They actually make adjustments. But I think that Baker Mayfield has a second good game against Oakland with no pass rush and no playmakers on the defensive side of the ball. And Raider Nation will be still crying in their tears in the black hole. So I got, believe it or not, Cleveland winning on the road. Get the second win on the road.
They can't get no pressure on Baker Mayfield. You know how Jarvis Landry was saying that they would average 40 points a game? They ain't scored 40 yet. But they might get a 40 burger this week if he doesn't get any pressure on them. I got the Browns winning. But I'm keeping an eye to see if they put 40 on these boys or not.
Yeah, it's crazy. Who else we got here? Seattle at Arizona. Seattle is just so disappointing. It's hard to see Seattle rebuilding so quickly, but you know that we all know that they are. Arizona, we know that they're a team in transition. They started rookie quarterback Josh Rosen. He's going to get his first start this weekend. So I got Seattle winning on the road, even though their line probably the Seattle's offensive line is just that offensive. They can't protect Russell Wilson to save their lives. But I got Seattle winning in Arizona.
I gotta remind you real quick. Matter of fact, I think it was the last time they went to the Super Bowl. Or it was the year after when they made that deep run in the playoffs. One of those years, the Seahawks looked ugly. for that first half of the season. And then they turned it on and made a deep run into the playoffs. Like I said, I can't remember if it was the Super Bowl year or the year after when they got eliminated late in there. But I'm not saying that this team is that good. I'm not. All I'm saying is that Pete Carroll knows how to turn this team around. I don't know if they have the dogs to do it, but he knows how to do it. So I got Seattle winning this game, but I don't know if they're going to necessarily be able to compete with the Rams this year. But I see them at least being respectable in certain games this year. But I feel like they'll turn around to get around 7 or 8 wins this year. But, yeah, don't count them out just yet. I still think that they compete for a playoff spot, and they'll need this win in order to help them do that.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. It's just a sad state for Seattle. San Francisco at the Chargers. God, you had to feel bad for Niners fans. You had to feel worse for Jimmy Garoppolo tearing his knee on a non-contact play. He was looking okay. He was looking pretty decent this year as well. And it's just unfortunate to see that. It's just so unfortunate. It's so unfortunate to see that. I expected big things from Niners this year. But alas, it is what it is. So I got Phillip Rivers beating the underman Niners team at home, and they're probably going to beat them pretty handily, unfortunately.
Well, I saw this tweet a couple of days ago, made me laugh, and it read, God, who was it? Oh, man. Deshaun Watson was seen with Mia Khalifa, tore his ACL.
Oh, Lord.
Reggie Bush dated Kim Kardashian, tore his ACL. Jimmy Garoppolo was out with that porn star. I can't remember what her name is. I think it's Kiara Mia. What did he tear?
Yeah.
His ACL. If she's on Pornhub, football players, let her be. I'm just saying.
That or IG model. Leave those witches alone.
Yes.
Leave
let
those
them
frauds
be.
Alone. Oh,
exactly.
My God. What? The porn stars, professional athletes don't mix. Neither do IG models. So
no,
people
not at all.
Still learn the hard way. But at any rate, New Orleans at the Giants. That's the Sunday late game.
Yeah.
I got New Orleans winning, pure and simple. I think they're starting to hit their stride. And yeah, I got Drew Brees and company wrecking some shout in the Meadowlands.
My concern is for the Saints' defense. This is one of those games where Eli may be able to boost his ego, being that they have a hard time stopping people. And even though the Giants haven't put up a ton of points yet this year, this might be one of those games where they put up somewhere between 28 and 35 points. But as we know, that still ain't enough to beat the Saints, because the Saints will put up 42 on you quick, especially if you can't stop nobody. And we've seen that the Giants at times can't stop nobody. So, and they're playing in the Superdome too? Yeah. I got the Saints.
They're playing the Meadowlands, but
are they playing the Meadowlands?
It doesn't matter.
It don't matter.
Yeah. They're playing the Meadowlands, but it don't matter. The Saints is just their win. The Sunday night game, my beloved Steelers, who touched on it earlier, played the Ravens, the hated Ravens. I think the Steelers have to win this game to make sure the AFC North doesn't get too far away from them quickly. We said it's early. This is the first quarter of the season, about to come to a close. But you can't afford to lose this game, not to Baltimore and not at home. So I got Pittsburgh in what should be a very competitive game.
I'm still trying to figure out what Baltimore is. They lose to Cincinnati, but they beat Denver. And like you said, Pittsburgh does need this game to win. I would like for Pittsburgh to win this to make that division. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take Pittsburgh.
And last but not least, brother, Monday night should be a doozy. High-flying Kansas City against the very defensive-minded Broncos. This is a test. This is a show me game for one Patrick Mahomes, as I call him. I think Denver has the capability to ground that offense and grind it down, especially playing a mile high. So I tell you what, brother, if Mahomes passes this test, this is going to be a special season for this kid. He's fearless. Brett Favre compared him to himself when he went to the radio interview like earlier this week or late last week one. And this kid has a fearless mentality. He loves to go deep, and he does that well with all those weapons that Kansas City has on offense. The question is, aside from Denver having the capability of slowing that offense down, can Kansas City's defense help out the Chiefs in what should be a low-scoring game? Will they be able to help the Chiefs out? If so, this is going to be a special season for Kansas City as they will start the season at 4-0. So I'm going to give it to them. I'm just going to give it to them until Denver shows me that they can score more than 20 points offensively consistently. I got Kansas City winning over Denver at Mile High.
Now, remember, last year, Kansas City started the season out 5-0. They were media darlings. Everyone talked about proficient that offense was, especially with Kareem Hunt coming out being the early player of the year, you know, award winner favorite. And this offense is starting to look very similar to what they did last year, only they're passing the ball instead of, you know, running the ball, which led to the pass, even though they were passing the ball deep with Alex Smith last year.
Right.
Now, it took 6 weeks for them to really get tested. I took that back. They did get tested in week 4, if I remember correctly, against Washington last year. But Washington didn't come away with that win. This is week 4 again.
Right.
I think this time, also a Monday night game, oddly enough, because that game was the Monday night game last year against Washington. But this time it's going to be on the road, and I think that the offense of Kansas City is going to be the thing that actually carries them over to the win. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take the Denver Broncos to beat KC and stop this streak. But like I said before, I'm going to be intrigued to see what Patrick Mahomes does to see whether or not, you know, he's still putting up quality numbers or not.
Hey, man, it sounds good. Let's have some fun this weekend, shall we? So thanks a lot, man, for helping me break down awesome NFL Week 3 and 4 as well as Tiger Woo. Let me give me one more time. Tiger Woo.
Tiger Woo.
All right, bro. Take care, man. Peace out.
Who you with?
Peace. That's my guy, Dwayne Nash. Please check him out on the Yard / HBCU Sports, as well as Sleazy Radio every week here on Blog Talk Radio. Thank y'all once again for tuning in to the Clown Hour. This is Scott Burks. My voice is going hoarse, so I'm signing off now. 06. Peace out and good night.